All right, episode 9. Can everybody hear us out there? Well, this is the first time this has worked. The last time we tried this this type of broadcast, we were at Canton celebrating Brian Dawkins' induction into the Hall of Fame, but we had no volume whatsoever throughout the entire bar. My name's Quimby. If you guys haven't figured that out yet, yes, I'm the lovely asshole that's been sending you the rude emails for the last 6 months. And I'm host here with my buddy Diaz of the DQ, Diaz and Quimby Sports Blizzard. This is our ninth episode. Yep,
nine. And our second remote.
Second remote.
The first one was in Tampa.
And this fantastic little Yamaha that I bought. I've been petting this thing like it's a child.
Yeah.
Since I got it.
Bringing that thing through customs, it was it was 50 pounds on my back, man.
So look, here's pretty much what we're gonna do. We're gonna talk Eagles football. We have a bunch of things to get to, including. Our big dog up on stage, Hollis Thomas, is going to be joining us in a little bit.
What up, Hollis?
If you have not gone up and bothered the shit out of Hollis yet, do it.
He likes Johnny Black.
He does like Johnny Walker Black, although the bottle's getting low.
Yeah.
All right.
We've been here for 2 hours. That bottle's half gone.
You know what? I'm a little disappointed in your performance so far, sir.
He's slowing down?
He is. He wants to keep his voice for the show. All right, everybody, real quick, our sponsors of the show, Miller Lite. There are 40 cases of Miller Lite here right now.
Specially imported
just for this particular party. Also, our friends Yards Brewery in Northern Liberties, beautiful historic Northern Liberties. You can see them high atop our beautiful studio skyline most of the time, except we're in the belly of the beast right now.
Yeah, we're in a cave.
Of course, our good friends at Stateside Vodka, that's premium vodka, brewed right in Philadelphia. Bucks County Baseball Company, 422 Jeep Limerick.
Yo, what's up, McVay? How's my Jeep?
That's it.
He's taking care of my Jeep while we're out here. I'm giving up.
Yeah, that's awesome. You're going to go into 422 Jeep. You're going to ask for Mike McVay. He says two things. Let's talk sports and do everything with your top off. Pretty simple.
That's about right. But
walk in talking sports, walking out with a new car. Also, our good friends, Cavanaugh's, all the Cavanaugh's restaurants, Riverdeck, Head House down off of South Street. Rittenhouse, our good friend Paul, bartending downstairs, and of course, Diaz and our old stomping ground, University City at 39th and Sampson. Our good friend Brian Pavlicek up there. Don't forget about the beautiful ladies over at Delilah's. Of course, our friends at Bourbon Blue in Manayunk. On the 1st, if everybody's back in time, they are going to have their 14th anniversary at party on November 1st. Make sure you stop in and mention the Green Legion. And of course, our boys at the Bayou and Cactus right around the corner and up the hill from them. Diaz, since somebody was brave enough to wear a Flyers jersey in here.
Oh, we're gonna start off hot, huh?
Let's talk. All right, Philadelphia Flyers. It's our year, volume 48. What's their record?
They are 4-6. So the wheel of mediocrity keeps rolling.
The wheel of mediocrity keeps. Okay, that's enough Flyers.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
Another update. They've drafted 12 goalies in the last decade. Still don't have one. and guess where they're always weak?
Goalie,
yeah. Now this year,
isn't it amazing that we finally have a general manager who was the best goalie since?
That's
but
right.
He still can't put somebody in the net.
Ooh, conspiracy theory. Is that what you're getting at?
I believe so.
Hextall wants to be the last one.
Not as much of a conspiracy theory, however.
Or they just don't know what they're doing.
And
that might be it too.
I don't know where to go with this. Let me introduce the panel here as well. Fighting and defending your freedom in the United States Army, our good friend Captain Will Demps from D.C.
Here I am.
What up, Cap?
He's also my ride or die partner. Anytime you see us at an away game, he and I have sat next to each other for every road game for the last 6 years.
2012.
It's cute. You guys are real cute. You look cute together. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Just start enunciating your S's and you're going to be the one that turns real cute again. And we also have our friend Liam, who is a native to London. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Liam
Jenkins. I'm like 5 hours away, but yeah, close enough.
Okay. You know what? If you said, I live in England, we'd all go, okay, yeah. You're from London. Automatically assume. Diaz, how did you meet Liam?
Well, we chatted on Twitter. Liam, he'll tell a little bit more about what he does, but he runs the Philadelphia Sports Network here in the UK, which is, it covers all...
Liam talked before.
Yeah.
I probably just disregarded everything.
Right.
Because I didn't have anybody that social media and I.
No, only, not friends.
Only when I'm trying to get laid or when the It takes no effort whatsoever to scream at somebody and get Facebook blocked for 30 days. That's what I'm good at.
He's like your angry uncle on Facebook.
Wait, often
so I just do the Twitter and Instagram, but yeah, we chatted. And then we ran into each other last night. We'll talk about, last night was madness, but we ran into each other and I said, oh man, you got to come on the show.
Nice. Excellent.
Yeah. So Liam, tell, just real brief, tell us about the Philadelphia Sports Network.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I mean, like, thanks for having me. I mean, this is mad, like, to be in England and to be surrounded by this many Eagles fans. I know the Green Legion, like, the tailgate to be at every single time.
That's right.
But this weekend so far is blowing my mind. So thank you all for being so welcoming. I started Philly Sports Network 4 years ago. Back then, it was just me covering all five teams on a five-hour time difference, which sucked because I had no idea what I was doing. Passion was for the Eagles, found them through Madden. And from there, we got writers. We're now accredited with the Flyers. We're accredited with the Sixers. Covered the Sixers in London this last year. And now the Eagles are in my home turf. It only makes sense to make a go of it. So
it's kind of interesting that you say, you know, it's a bit of a challenge with the time difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I found out that if, in fact, you fucked something up before you left, it is almost impossible to get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
Especially trying to get your parcels company to help a box get through customs. Yeah, it doesn't work very well.
It's not a good shot.
You know, back in the States, if we go to the West Coast, hey, that's awesome. We get through 3 hours. Here, it's a disaster. Mm. Complete disaster. But anyway, yeah, that's got to be a challenge for you. A lot of sleepless nights covering these
teams. Oh, that's
these,
it.
These
I mean, like, I've got a part-time job as well, so I'll often be up till like 5 a.m. grinding out game film, be up at 6 for work 9 till 6, and then do it all over again. But I mean, the Eagles put an article out on myself and the website 2 days ago.
Nice.
Which... you know, that blew my mind to think if 14-year-old Liam was told that one day the Eagles would put an article out on him, I think I'd cry. So, I mean, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's
good
excellent.
Work, man.
Excellent.
That means you're on the right track.
I hope so. Definitely hope so.
Absolutely. So, real quick, none of us are accredited journalists other than Liam.
Excuse me. I was credited.
Here we go.
Excuse me. I was credited to cover the Eagles White House visit, and your boy just destroyed it, and I couldn't go.
Oh, here we go. Remember, this is no politics on the DQ
no
Sports
politics.
Blizzard.
Yeah, that's right.
Otherwise, you're going to get drilled right now.
But I've never written an article, but I got credited somehow.
All right. Well, considering all of us are still learning as we go, I do want to point out an extremely professional and excellent radio station and show. Man, none of them are here right now because they basically got no sleep last night. But if you guys were on the Tattershaw Castle yesterday and saw the Preston and Steve show, it's just a real honor to be able to work with a real radio station and a real radio show.
That honor their commitments.
That's as far as we're going to say. Fuck WIP. but no, it's been... It was awesome. Did you have a chance to go up into?
Oh yeah, I was up there for a little.
It was awesome.
We had I met Amy and Allie. Amy won the contest.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So they were we don't want to bother. I'm like, God, you got to get up there.
Yeah,
they got to
get up
to
there.
And not even that. So this is what these guys did. They flew, took a red eye, got through customs, went straight to the castle or the boat, the Tattershaw Castle. And did their show. And I was telling you earlier before the show, they sounded exactly like the show they normally do. None of them had slept. They were riding on fumes.
Right.
And they sounded great. During each little break, each commercial break, or they played a song, one of them, like Preston, would come down, take pictures, you know, shake hands with people. And then Steve came down. And they were awesome.
Oh, we did have an excellent tweet by one Steve Morrison from the Preston and Steve show. What exactly did that say? Because
I'm not prepared. You should have.
I'm sorry. Well, we can talk about more.
So Steve tweeted out let me find it here. Dead radio.
If I had my other computer, I'd be playing some clips right now.
Yeah. Oh shit. No drops today.
No drops.
Oh, you guys are in. This is gonna be a good show. seeing what Green Legion pulls off in person has been a mind blower. They take care of everything and everyone has a blast. Well done, guys. That's great.
It's huge. So
they were awesome, man.
One of the things that I didn't realize and have been getting more compliments on, that party at the castle yesterday, apparently people loved it.
It was a blast.
Not just, you know, all of us being together, but the sight lines. You know, being right on the Thames, right under the London Eye as the sun started to go down. You know. I got inside. I was happy to get underneath where I was a little warmer, but just that little scene right there on the water with the lights, kind of cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we were expecting, and that's why people booked.
That's what we do, and we didn't run out of beer.
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
How does that happen?
How do you host a party?
How do we never run out of beer?
You host a party for Eagles fans and you don't run out of beer.
Yeah,
what a novelty.
Just in case you guys didn't know, that's a little shot towards our friends every time. But, all right, I can't talk about Petrie and company taking their wives to the strip club last night because, well, they all left.
Well, but I can.
Okay, good.
I did not accompany them. So we got Petrie and his crew from back at Drexel. They come.
These are all friends of ours that we went to school with.
Yeah, and they do a trip every single year. I've been on the trips with them. You know, we've been all over the country. And now we're in London. So this time they decided instead of doing just guys' trip, they can't just go to London. They brought all the wives. So I was curious to see whether they would behave the same way that they normally do. So this morning, hey, what's up? They rolled in the bar. Turns out, yeah, they went to the strip club last night. But here's the question, Quimby. You tell me. I said, so did any of the girls get dances? Yeah. Did any of the guys get dances?
No.
Well, it was a couples thing.
Uh-oh.
So, which couple was it?
Ooh, that got a lap.
They won't tell me. Yeah,
it was really
a couple's lap. I mean, I don't know how that works. You're the professional. You could tell me how that works.
A couple's lap dance?
Yeah. Is it two girls or one girl?
A couple's lap dance to me means two strippers on me. Sorry.
Only two?
Only, well, minimum of. Hey, look, we're gonna take about a one song break every 20 minutes, and we're getting close to that already. I do want to make an announcement for everybody in here right now because you may or may not have read the email that I sent out at 3 o'clock this morning when I couldn't sleep.
Quimby, everyone reads the emails.
Everyone does read our emails, doesn't it? So our good friends over at the Green Man Hotel tomorrow.
Green Man Pub.
Green Man Hotel and Pub. If you have the hotel, you have the entire grounds, which we do. Have given us a great couple of upgrades. They're bringing in a burger truck. They're bringing in a Jamaican jerk chicken station. And the huge bar outside and the main bar inside will also be serving spirits. So as part of your tailgate, not only are you getting an upgraded menu, but you're getting everything behind the bar, which is...
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool for us. Thank you.
We've been working... Like Wax is here. We've been working with some great establishments this season so far.
You read my mind, brother.
We got Jerseys, we got Shepherds, we got Hopsmith in Nashville, we got Waxies here in London, we got Green Man Pub and Hotel.
Well, let's talk about Waxies real quick because that's one thing I want to get to before we take our first break.
All right.
And I can't thank everybody enough, and I hope you guys are hearing me. Sean, Samantha, everybody, all the managers, all the people that are wearing our cool shirts that know I didn't buy extra so that you could purchase. Sorry. Talk to you when we get back home. This is one of the coolest fucking places I've ever been to. I mean, you know, when it comes to throwing back a pint or a shot at Jameson, have you ever been to a place like this? This is awesome.
Especially Halloween weekend, too. I mean, they got...
Well, some of these crazy bitches behind the bar are starting to scare me a little bit. I don't know. There's one. No, but everybody here at Waxies has been fantastic. We are looking forward to a great and long afternoon and into the evening with
our pep rally all day.
And I believe Tree Murphy is supposed to be upstairs ready to go.
He's ready to go, man.
I don't see him up there.
He's there. Where? He's professional. You don't see, Tree's the biggest man alive.
The biggest man alive. So as we go to our first break here, just remind you, our good friends over at Miller Lite and Yards Brewery, if you are drinking beer ever, you're drinking Miller Lite or you're drinking Yards, and also our friends at Stateside Vodka. Fine premium vodka brewed right off of Fairmount Avenue in Philadelphia. Tree, we ready to go? Hit it, baby. All right, we are back here on the DQ Sports Blizzard. That's the Diaz and Quimby Sports Blizzard. And yes, everybody's asked me why Diaz gets the front name in this show.
Because I'm the talent. Well, I'm the one with the
and I'm the one that can control your microphone volume. So what'd you say? Yeah, well, what do you think about that? Try again.
Well, the fans come out.
I got you.
Listen, you
got
to give the fans what they want.
I hear you.
They come out for me. They deal with you.
guess what? Wow, there's no truer statement's been spoken so far today.
That's right.
All right. Clap. There's my captain's voice. That was almost reckless.
Ooh, smooth captain.
Hey, we're coming back from break, and this segment is sponsored by Bucks County Baseball Company. If you want vintage gear like my man does right over here, that is the place to go. BucksCountyBaseballCO.com. They also have all the trendy T-shirts, everything. They make fun of everybody in Philadelphia. Plenty of Philly Sixers, Flyers, Volume 48. This is our year gear.
Let me tell you, if you've never been to J.P. Lutz's store in Bristol, you got to make the pilgrimage. You walk in there, you're like, holy shit. Yeah, they've got everything.
Everything.
He's got shit from Shy Park, the Vet. If you want old seats from the Vet or even Shy Park, whatever, he's right. Got them there. He's got everything in there. So they're the guys that set up shop at our home tailgates. They were there for Carolina.
Yep.
You weren't there. That was a nice tailgate. No Quimby. It was awesome.
It was excellent.
I wasn't done with our sponsor list yet, but that's okay. Oh. Thanks for taking over the show. And don't forget about our good friends over at 422 Jeep Limerick. Our friend Mike McVay. Walk in talking sports. Walk out with a new Jeep. And like he says, do everything with your top off. Speaking of the Carolina tailgate, segueing into the Carolina game. We're going to get to that in a minute, but I know our friend Liam here has precious time before we get Big Dog on the show. So, Liam, get in here and tell us everything that people should know about what you do and
why they
should check you out, because we've been doing it for years.
All right. It depends what you want, really. I mean, there's like two different angles to what I do. There's the YouTube channel where I break down every game with film analysis.
And how do you find that?
YouTube.com/Philly Sports Network. So on there, I mean, there's like the Jordan Mailata videos. They like properly took off. They were like the first videos that really went up because everyone's so obsessed with this guy and like what technique he's got. And the other side of it is just daily articles.
Well, considering how Jason Peters has been playing so far this season.
There's a legit question.
Jordan might yeah, we might be talking about him a little bit more than we wanted to right away.
It's interesting. I think a lot of people are downplaying what Big V did, especially when you think back to last year and that playoff run. He hasn't been fantastic. But
that's right. He was the left tackle through the whole run.
And then let's not forget 2016. He was filling in for Lane Johnson on the right side of the field. So it's not like he's had, you know, an easy step into the NFL. He's had to fill both sides of the void. Now you've got the pressure of what if one of those guys goes down, both are wobbling around, what happens next? And this is the sort of thing on Philly Sports Now where it's no hot takes, it's no dumb comments for attention, no one's trying to clickbait, it's just analysis.
What are you trying to say about our show?
No, not you guys. You know how Philly media gets. It's a dog-eat-dog world, everyone wants to be the top guy. We would rather just give you quality and the analysis that matters. It's all about that passion and trying to find the reasons why things are happening.
How did you wind up getting a passion for football, that your football has nothing to do with our football?
Well, it probably had to do with the football team I support sucks. So Charlton Athletic, horrific at everything they do. But I was given an Xbox when I was 14 years old, and I kept on years and years for it. I wanted one for ages, and the only game it came with was Madden 08, right? So I was like, brilliant, that's not Call of Duty, but we'll take it.
Right.
So I randomly selected a team, happened to be the Eagles, and it kind of snowballed from there. Like I was that kid at school that was picked on a lot, so I spent every lunchtime watching highlight videos and top 10s.
That was Madden 08.
Yeah,
and I'm now 23. That was the year we eked into the playoffs based on a Chicago Bears loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and a thrashing of the Cowboys in the final game of the season at home.
Tampa
beat Chicago.
No.
That game had implications.
The Raiders beat Tampa.
Was it the Raiders?
The Raiders were trash.
Chicago had something to do with it. There were three things that had to happen, and they all did.
Well, the Chicago loss, it might have been against Green Bay or Minnesota. A game that like they could have lost.
Right.
But the one that was not going to happen was the Raiders were going to beat Tampa in Tampa. And it was just like,
that's right. Yes.
And the minute that game ended was time to walk into that Dallas game.
Yes.
We won 44-3.
Yeah. Just demolished them.
And that was also the year of our San Francisco invasion.
Yep.
Still my top invasion.
During the World Series run. The Dodgers game what was the place? The sports bar at the Hyatt that had the saltiest peanuts on the planet. That was so awesome.
Salty penis?
Did I say penis?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Well, that would be what you hear, but that's okay. Again, no politics or preferences on this show. Anyway, back to Liam because I know we're gonna get the big dog on the show here in just a minute. But tell everybody how they can reach out to you, how they can talk to you, and every way they can find you, because we'd like to promote you as much as we can.
I appreciate it. I mean, I'm mostly active on Twitter, at LiamJenkins21, or at PhiladelphiaSN for the website.
Jenkins would be J-E-N-K-I-N-S.
Very British name. It's got to go full British on it.
Is it?
But that's good. Yeah, there's always like film room videos and articles and GIFs and analysis. Like, I try to interact with as many people as possible, and that was my goal for this weekend. Like, just meet as many Eagles fans, get to know them a little bit. And do you know what? I've really felt brotherly love this weekend. And yeah. I wasn't sure what to expect.
We have you fooled.
Wait till I get out there. That's when it all goes a bit wrong.
Liam, but I wanted to ask you something I think that people would be interested in. I mean, you obviously know your football, so we got that. But let's talk about how the gambling is different here in the UK as opposed to home.
It blows my mind. I don't get it. So I only discovered about 2 years ago that gambling in America isn't a thing unless you're in Vegas, right? And I was like, well, I guess it makes sense in Vegas, but for the rest of the country, it sucks. So in England, you can be at a point, if you're at home watching a game, you can open an app and bet on the game as it's happening. So if, let's say, you've got Eagles v Jags this weekend, the spread's 3.5, right? If the Eagles go down by a touchdown on that first drive...
What? That's never going to happen.
Just a kick return. Oh, okay, right.
Very hypothetical.
But what I would say is that spread's going to move to around 8 in play. So you lump your house. You take off throw a ban. You put your house on the Eagles plus 8.5. It's the first drive of the game. And then you know that you've got 3.25 more quarters left to get that value back. So instead of a line of 3.5 and go, oh, now I'm down and I've got needing to get X, Y, and Z... You've got, well, now I've got them plus 8.5. You know they're going to come back. And it's a totally different ball game. And it's just, it's almost like a lifestyle. Like, everyone bets on everything. You can name a sport, you can bet it.
You don't have to talk to some shady guy.
No, you can do it on your phone. Like, legit, just post money in from your bank. Away you go. It's a bit scary, but you go.
And you know what? We're going to be having that same kind of competition at the Platinum Club on Monday. And that's Bet Where the Dancer's From.
Is that what we're doing?
That is 100% what I'm doing. I don't give a fuck if you guys are involved or not. To be honest with you, Tree and I will be there. Tree? Yep. Captain's already going to be going home because Captain leaves right away.
I'm here until Wednesday.
Then Captain will be guessing whether it's Romanian, Bulgarian, or Hungarian.
Or all the Aryans?
Oh, yeah. It's all Aryan.
Bruce Aryans?
Bruce Aryans. Can't wait to see his tits. Liam, anything else you want to add?
Really quickly, I think, just before you get off the game, it'd be cool to talk about the idea of like an Eagles trade. I think, because I mean, that's been something.
Is it going to happen?
It depends on this.
This is you.
All right, this is the shirt comes off now. All
right. Yeah, right now, because we were discussing that earlier. Big Dog doesn't want to talk about that. We've been bringing this up every week. Is at this point.
Yeah.
Now, Diaz made a very excellent point a couple weeks ago. Why trade? Will I give up a third-round pick for a season rental?
Sure.
If it's worth it.
All right,
yeah, we blow third-round picks
all the time.
All the time. So the answer there is yes, but now in this particular situation, do we consider trying to make that trade with the team at 3-4? We're not at 500. We're almost halfway through the season.
Before we get to it, quick show of hands, who thinks the Eagles should make a trade? For anyone.
Anybody listening in the house.
All right. Eagles should make a trade.
Eagles make a trade for a running back, yes or no? Raise your hand if yes.
Right. That's interesting. Okay. The way I look at it is that it all comes down to this Jags game. All right. I'll touch wood they won't, but let's say worst case scenario, they lose. All right. And somehow a trade happens and it's Shady or it's Le'Veon Bell. If it's Shady, brilliant. If it's Le'Veon Bell, that's $9 million for a 7-week rental.
Shady? Well, they already
the money is there.
I don't understand. Yeah, the thing is, it is, but you've got to appreciate that you've got 5 players backloaded till 2021. You've got Lane Johnson, Zach Ertz, Malcolm Jenkins, a bunch of guys, Brandon Burks, Jason Kelce. They're all backloaded. You've got to pay Carson Wentz. There's a reason Howie Roseman is constantly having to make adjustments and, you know, say, oh, they've restructured his salary. They've redone this to get this team in a chance of winning.
And this is why we have you on the show right now, because I didn't know any of that fucking shit.
Okay, so if you think $9 million for Le'Veon Bell makes him the second highest paid player on this team. All right, do you know who the most is? It's Fletcher Cox.
Fletcher Cox.
Right, so you're telling me that Le'Veon Bell for $9 million for 7 games, if you go into this game 4-4, $9 million is going to, you're saying that's a coin flip that's going to get you to the playoffs. If you get now out of this game, you've got 3 NFC East opponents and a bye week. It took Jay Ajayi 4 games to get double-digit carries when he got to the Eagles last season because Le'Veon Bell's not played an NFL game. We don't know how in shape he is. A source told me not even Le'Veon Bell knows what Le'Veon Bell's doing.
Yeah, you said all right? that earlier.
So he then gets to the team.
He's taking Dove baths.
I dread to think what he's doing. But, I mean, if he gets to this team, it's going to take a couple weeks for it to sync up. And by that point, if you drop one more game, which, let's be honest, every loss has been a one-possession loss bar one, it's a chance it happens. If that does, you've wasted $9 million. You've given up a first-round pick. It's a struggle.
Well, first-round pick, I wouldn't trade.
Oh, maybe. All right. Okay.
Let's say third. We're going off the basis that it's third. And I understand what you're saying about the money.
Yeah.
But then tell me this.
Okay.
That $9 million is just for this season.
Yeah.
We're about, what, like 10.65 or something.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
how
sure.
much we got. And it does leave you with a little, like, very little wiggle room. But where else are you spending that money for this season? I get it. But he's not committed next year,
yeah.
and it's a risk. But where I get it, $9 million for 8 games is doesn't sound good. But who else are you signing?
I have a perfect example for you. I had 100 extra drink tickets in my pocket when I got to the Tattershall Castle yesterday.
Okay. they're just wasted.
They would get wasted if they weren't used.
Right.
Spend the fucking $9 million. Give up the third round pick.
Another one. It's not so much that. What are you going to say, Captain?
Well, here's a question though. You presume that the trade, Le'Veon Bell would make a difference in those 4 losses. I have a different approach or a view on all of that. It's great to say, oh, we need a quarterback, we need a running back. I don't know that those players would make a difference in the 4 games that we lost.
Yeah, that's it. And if you think, okay, let's say wide receiver. Who thinks he should trade for a wide receiver, right? They need a number 2 guy. Would you trade for a wide out?
What are you talking
point?
About? Sheldon Gibson is amazing.
He's the GOAT, right? The thing is, if you go for a wide receiver, look back at the big wide receiver trades towards the deadline. Kelvin Benjamin last year had like 300 yards. You look at, you know, I dread to think, I mean, we've got to bring out the Cowboys. That 2008 trade, do you remember that trade for a wide receiver? They dropped a bunch of first round picks.
Roy Williams?
Yeah, did absolutely nothing.
Yeah, he did nothing.
Right, okay.
But it's also but Dallas sucks. They don't know what they're doing.
You can't base your pick or the ability, you know, the choice of doing that based on Roy fucking Williams.
No, all right, okay. What about Randy Moss?
Randy Moss.
When he went from the Patriots back to the Vikings.
Yeah.
Well,
he was kind of wild. He was wild.
All right.
Yeah.
And it did. This is what I'm saying. Mid-season trades for a wide receiver. You've got to learn terminology, playbook. You've got to get up to speed. It will take you a few weeks to settle in, no matter what position you play. Cornerback may be the only position you might be able to get away with it because the role's reduced a little bit.
Right.
And but our record isn't so good bringing in cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's part of one of the top 5 reasons Howie Roseman's changing the way NFL teams are built, which he's not going to spend money on a cornerback.
No, it's he's building
gonna,
from
he's,
the ball out.
He's going to load up on the lines,
yep.
and he's going to load up on your safeties.
Yeah.
Now, McLeod being out, you know, that hurts. I don't think people don't realize how painful that particular loss is. Mm.
I think everyone realizes.
Well, I mean, nobody's saying it. We lost because of this. We lost because of this.
Who did they have? Avante Maddox.
Our cornerbacks are getting beat. Howie's system now suggests you load up on two strong players in your safety positions, and get serviceable cornerbacks.
It's even more than that, though. I mean, if you think about it, I think last season it was Graham, it was McLeod, and Jalen Watkins. He is the most underrated guy last season. The reason why is Malcolm Jenkins, most of the time, he played 55% of his snaps last year as a linebacker. He drops inside the box.
Right.
What we're seeing now is Avante Maddox over the top on his own. They don't want to move Jenkins back there because he's so effective stopping the run and blowing up screens. So you lose McLeod, you lose Graham, and instead of moving corners around and having liabilities, they're like, screw it, we'll have one safety, we'll keep Jenkins inside the box. And that's what's hurting, because now you've got 50% of the field controlled by the cornerbacks who just aren't coping right now.
Right, and Avante Maddox is not even a safety.
Yeah, exactly.
I played safety in college.
Not even that, and this was his first real exposure to the position, and now he's a 6th captain on the team.
That's right.
That's a big jump for a rookie to make. I mean, he's holding his head high. But there's a lot being asked of this secondary right now. And you're right.
You should expect mistakes. You just should expect.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially when you're bringing in Dexter McDougal off the street and starting him in nickel, which, again, blows my mind. But, hey, you know.
Well, you're blowing my mind right now.
I try my
best.
Your
knowledge is pretty. I'm impressed.
Hey, I told you. This is what I do. You know, I'm defying those expectations.
I am impressed. Seriously. How about you? You don't say much of anything. You know what? This is Bobby Taylor. Everybody, we thought Bobby Taylor was not going to be in the house. He is. The comparison I'm making, or the analogy here, is if Captain doesn't say a word while you're talking, that means you're good.
I'll take it. That's
you never
compliment.
Hear about Bobby Taylor on during a game because nobody ever throws his way.
Yeah. Sure.
So Captain is literally here to tell all of us that we're wrong all the fucking time.
No, hey, no, just you. Just you.
No, he was ripping you up until a couple weeks ago.
I adjusted my game.
Liam, one more time because we're about to go to another break, and then we're going to bring the big dog, Hollis Thomas, on the DQ Sports Blizzard. Tell everybody one more time how they can find you, and then we're going to say thank you and appreciate you coming out and having some fun with us this afternoon.
Well, first of all, if anyone wants to literally just have a chat with me now, I'm going to be around for a couple of hours, so I'm more than happy to have a chat with you guys. At LiamJenkins21 on Twitter, or at PhiladelphiaSN, and I'll be on there pretty much 24/7 because I've got no body clock, so there's that.
Nice.
Awesome, man. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
I don't know why you did that, man. It was great. You actually thought I was putting up your volume before mine?
I just work here.
Welcome back to the DQ Sports Blizzard here at Waxy O'Connor's. This next segment is brought to you by our good friends at all of the Cavanaugh's restaurants in Philadelphia. Woo. That would be Cavanaugh's River Deck, which is awesome during the summer. This summer sucked a little bit because what do we have? 2 weekends where Friday and Saturday night weren't rain. There was no rain on Friday and Saturday night together.
No.
Terrible.
But it was perfect during the week.
It was perfect during the week, which... I'm a big weekly drinker. I think weekends are amateur hour, but that's okay.
Yeah.
When you're a functioning alcoholic, that's kind of how it works.
Well, when you're a functioning alcoholic, you tend to go out during the week because jerks hang out on the weekend.
Oh, my God. I like where Hollis is.
Well,
right now.
We didn't even introduce Hollis, but let's talk about functioning. He's on his second bottle.
Second bottle?
Grown ass man, dog.
That's it. You know why?
GMAD.
I'm a man.
GMAD. Grown-ass man, dog.
Everybody, please welcome to the DQ Sports Blizzard. Number 70.
78.
8?
78.
Fucking with him.
78 in your program, number one in your
number
heart.
Number one in your heart. Everybody, former Eagle, former Saint, former Carolina Panther.
Correctamundo. And St. Louis Rams.
And St. Louis Rams. Everybody, Hollis Thomas.
What up, Hollis?
That was awesome.
That was
what up, Tank?
I'm feeling tingly all over.
If you weren't feeling tingly after that first bottle, I don't know what's going to
Yeah, I was going to say, is that the reception or the Johnny?
There's a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Hey, we appreciate you coming out. You and I have become friends over the last year. I can't thank you enough for what you've been doing with and for us.
No, I thank you for like bringing me about and enhancing my fanfare, because I love the fans.
I gotta
love the people.
I gotta tell you guys this, and if you haven't noticed about me, I pretty much can't stand everybody.
Yeah,
true statement.
You're an asshole.
I am. I'm an asshole.
A bit of a jerk, but not really.
And it's because I wind up having to talk to people on a regular basis, and I'm sorry, I no longer have the patience or the wherewithal for it, but hanging out with this fucking guy on a regular basis, and Hollis and I get drunk at least one or two nights a week.
Hell yeah.
It's a fact. We're neighbors for the most part. He lives a block away from me.
Yes.
And you, for 340, 350 pounds of pure fucking animal, you're the sweetest son of a bitch I've ever met in my entire life.
He's a puppy.
You are. I actually just want to come up and pet you sometimes. I don't know what to do.
The weird thing is my mom is 5'11".
Is she really? I didn't know that.
5'11", about 260 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, and like what she always told me was like, people are gonna be afraid of you because of your size,
right?
But you just kill them with kindness.
Well, you do, man. I can't stand it. As a matter of fact, time somebody comes up and talks to me, I just go like this: Hey, you guys, have you met Hollis?
Well, that's the weird thing is like
this. Like I was talking, like a lot of people think like, how Essie is an asshole.
Well, yeah.
I just heard
Eskin. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
All I heard was Eskin, an asshole there. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a lot of people. When I talk to those people, everybody always says that. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Those guys are so nice to me. But they would always say, who's going to be rude to a 6'2", 350-pound guy?
Are you only 6'2"?
I'm only 6'2 and a half.
You're like 6'4", dude. Stop it.
You know, 6'2 and a half.
It depends on what you need for the leg room in the plane.
Exactly.
I got you. Yeah. I got you. So, hey, everybody, without talking a little bit more about our personal life and how we like lap dances, I want to get Woo! To Eagles football. And now, I want to talk about last week.
Hold on. Which part you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about the Tennessee and the Carolina thing? Like,
are we both talking 17-point comebacks here?
That could just fucking piss me off. Dude.
You have no idea, Big
Because dog. As a defensive player, if I got a 17-point lead, I'm sitting in the house. I don't give a fuck.
Is that what happened in these games then?
No, he didn't sit in the house. You know what Jim Johnson said about prevent?
Yeah, preventing winning.
Prevents you from getting another job. Because it's like when you look at it, they took their foot off the pedal this last game. This last game, we were up 17-0 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know, when I played with Carolina with Thomas Davis and Julius Peppers, both of those guys texted me and told me that we gave up.
Well, it was evident. It was obvious.
No. It was really bad, like a bad give up. Because I never thought that the guys that won the Super Bowl last year would give up like that. And it was fucked up.
When you say that, do you mean like their rush or the pass blocking softened up? They just weren't pushing as hard? I mean,
it's like this. As a defense, like early in the game, you know, as a defense, we ran some blitzes and stuff, and we were able to corral Cam Newton. It's like we run the four-man rushes. It's like, hold on. First of all, the depth on the defensive line is really bad.
Yeah, yeah. What are we doing? We'll get into that.
Because a lot of people, I miss Bo Allen and Vinny Curry right now. Like a motherfucker.
Definitely Bo, yeah.
We talked about this earlier. Yeah. Vinny Curry, I understand you understand so much more from a defensive line perspective because his job was always to
contain the quarterback, and when they pressed the pocket, he would get a sack. Or the defense tackle would get a sack.
Right.
That's
why you like Vinny Curry.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah.
And then Haloti Ngata was hurt, so it was like you saw as the fourth quarter came on, how we like seemed to dissipate.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
Disappear.
Starting the fourth quarter, they were dancing in midfield.
Exactly.
We got it, man. We got it.
Yeah, exactly. The thing that pissed me off, the thing that pissed me off the most was Schwartz not willing to call a blitz.
No blitzes, thank you, God. Yeah, I was ready to raise my hand and say, all right, why soften up that much? I mean, I thought we learned last year when you have it, put the goddamn foot on the throat and step on that fucking thing.
The thing that I don't like about him. Is the bend but don't break. I'm from Jim Johnson. I'm Jim Johnson. We about to break your motherfucking neck.
R.I.P. Jim Johnson.
Double J.
Love him.
Double J. He never wants you to call him Jimmy. His name is Jim.
Really?
Jim Johnson. Now, because you say Jimmy, he's like, oh, no, my name is Jim.
Really?
Yeah, that's my guy. It's like, and when you look at the way he brought things out, it was like, pressure bust pipes. So everybody's always talking about like on third and long to drop everybody. You give the quarterback a chance to carve you up.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to make a quick decision.
Bend but don't break under Jim Johnson was not what we are seeing here.
No,
it's apply. We don't feel pressure. We apply it.
Exactly. And the thing that I loved about Jim. Was even in a situation where we up big time, we are sending a blitz to make you make a quick decision.
Right.
Because if you have to make a quick decision, sometimes you may throw a pick and put our offense in a position because our offense is like sputtering. If they put our offense in a position to where they have a short field and they can score and get some confidence.
I am of the mindset, I believe too, you know, you can have a lockdown corner if that even exists anymore, but just eliminate the quarterback's time. Just eliminate their time.
Yeah, because if you let any quarterback stand back there, they're going to torture you.
They're all pros. Even the worst guys.
Every receiver knows how to find a seam after 4.5 seconds.
Exactly. Do you know what the defensive line the time is to make quarterback though?
2.2?
2.4 seconds.
2.4? Really?
2.2 seconds. 2.4 seconds. But some of us, we try to make that, we try to shrink that down because somebody's got to beat the guy ASAP.
Is there, what is, okay, all right, we all agree that Schwartz is not going for the throat. But
I love Schwartz, but he doesn't have the secondary to do what he wants to do.
Even when he had the secondary he wanted to do, he still didn't blitz. What is the philosophy? I want to know from you specifically, okay, as a former 15-year player on defensive line in the NFL, what is the philosophy of not blitzing? What is the philosophy that says if your front four can't get pressure,
right,
fucking anybody's going to carve you to pieces?
Well, see, the thing is with him is like like I was considered the hunter. Like in his defense, I would be considered the hunter. He has three wolves. Three wolves are the other three defensive linemen. They go and hunt for the quarterback. I'm there to clean up their mess because I'm the hunter. But it's like we check the run on the way to the pass. It's like, but it's one hunter that's gonna carve up the run.
Right.
And so you have a secondary that's there to get the opportunity to, because the three wolves are coming like nobody's business.
Right. So well, the secondary is there to try and pick up some turnovers.
Yeah, pick up some turnovers and everything. Okay. But if you don't have the proper secondary, like if you have guys that bite on the slant and go, if you can't have that. The thing with the slant and go with Mills, he doesn't have the speed to catch up. Like Darby has the speed to catch up, but
right.
Yeah, but the other guys don't have the speed to catch
up. What about Sydney?
I love Sydney. I don't know why they haven't tried
him out. Thank you.
Rasul Douglas also.
Same.
Exactly. Same. I don't know why they have not tried him out there.
But Quimby, you asked a good question. Let's go back to why
let's go back.
In this game, they had the perfect opportunity to try something because if you look, North Turner is making Cam Newton be a pocket quarterback.
Exactly.
So we had all kinds of opportunities to do that. So credit to Norv and to Cam for staying in
which
there.
Which you never say ever.
Exactly. Because Norv was a football coach.
The weird thing about what you're talking about is like, it's like me, I would have blitzed the shit out of them.
Exactly.
But he committed to stay in there, but that's
your bigger question about what's wrong with the team.
Thank you. Why is he not blitzing?
Because he's scared.
Really?
What's he scared of?
He's scared of
getting beat.
It's like, but we get beat anyway.
And Tennessee
killed us softly. And that totally pissed me off. And then to come back to this game, up 17-0 in the fourth quarter. It pissed me off.
Right.
It's
Now let me ask you this though. You say he's scared, or is he trying to run the? He thinks his because he only likes rushing four.
Right. I mean,
that's what he likes. But he doesn't have the horses right now.
Well,
how many guys do we got right now?
Well, because normally we have
that got everybody hard.
I know, but normally we have the horses to run because we have a wave of guys coming through. That's the thing. Right now we don't have the D line depth that we had last year. We had D-line depth last year where you had horses coming in.
So that comes back to this. What I think this whole year so far has been about, it's about coaching. You got to make these adjustments.
Not only got to make the adjustments, but it's like you have to have the horses to do what the fuck you're talking about.
That's why you make the adjustment to do something different.
The adjustment, like, because I'm getting sick and tired of the sticks defense. You know what the sticks defense is? They stand at the sticks and like they try to
drive. Right.
Like, but if I'm
that's now, Eagles football.
Let's talk about 4th and 19 in the Tennessee game in overtime. Here you go. Here's 20 yards.
Let's walk.
It was 4th and 15.
Don't even look at the only fucking person that's within 30 yards of you.
It was 4th and 15. The guy Graham, he just got back with us. He totally sucks.
Yeah.
And he let an undrafted free agent. Who's been on like 3 or 4 teams?
Oh yeah, journeyman.
Just walked by. It's like in the immortal words of Jim Johnson, "What the fuck are you doing covering grass?"
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, what? All right. So we're probably gonna come up on another break here real quick. But
okay.
Here's a question for you again.
Okay.
Being a football mind more so than any of us combined.
Okay.
Do you think? And I think he's god awful just because I don't like Andrew Luck.
Oh yeah, he sucks. He sucks.
But because we're segueing onto another part of this, okay. We're going to move off the defense when we come out of break. Frank Reich, do you think we lost something when Frank Reich left?
Not really.
I don't either.
Not really. The thing is, a lot of players have been from other teams have been telling me that since we won the championship, we feel like if we roll the old Eagle helmet out there, that the shit's gonna be sweet. And it's not that way. Guys have got to realize that everybody's trying to beat us because we are the champion.
Okay, I don't want to be the contrarian, but that's normally what I do here.
Yeah, but if
who's whispering in Doug's ear? I think it's DeFilippo.
DeFilippo, he was cool, but it's like you had to realize, even when we played Minnesota, we had that game in hand. It's like, but if you really look at it, it's like why are you throwing the ball so much, and why are you not running the ball enough?
Right. Who can talk to Doug? That is the question. And I don't think anybody is.
Howie.
Somebody need to talk to him.
Even look at the press conference. Last year, he was Mr. Homespun, all shucks.
Yeah.
And this year, he's getting chippy with reporters.
Yeah.
The guy asks something he don't like.
He's getting chippy with reporters on purpose. But when you look at what's going down, it's like you have to. It's like he's to me, you got to remember he's a quarterback, too. Quarterbacks want to throw a ball a lot. But you have to realize this also. Every time we've thrown the ball 50-plus times, we have lost the fucking
game.
That's right. We have lost the game. It's like, and I hate it in a Tennessee Titans game where we was getting 5.3 yards per carry. You threw the ball in the fourth quarter like more than anybody's business.
And we were hot in the stands, so exactly. I know them players had to be hot.
And they were hot. And not only that, it's like you saw at the end of the game when the Tennessee Titans guy went to celebrate.
Yeah.
Those were all fucking Eagles fans.
All
Eagles fans. They was pissed. They was throwing the ball back in.
That's right.
Yeah. Everybody, we're going to get on to the offense on our next segment. Is that all right, Cap?
Yeah.
You raised your hand. What do you want?
He's waving
to fucking move on?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we're about to take another break here, but this next segment is going to be brought to you by DJ Phil over at Delilah's, our good friends over at Delilah's. We've got three of the most important components of the Delilah's trilogy here right now. Myself, Big Dog, and DJ Phil. Everybody, we'll be back for one more segment right after this. All right, back from our second to last break. I just found out it's going to be our second to last break before we call it quits for the day. We're going to let Big Dog get back up on his high chair. Do we want to call it the king's chair?
The throne.
You are Game of Thrones right now, Big Dog.
Yes, sir.
That is the biggest chair in the house. And when we get done this the segment after this, we're going to let you get back up there and take care of the fans that you love so much. I still don't understand why you like them, but.
Well, let me tell you. When Tank showed up at our playoff tailgates last year, when you went to the first one, the Atlanta game,
right.
You had a great time, and you were awesome with the fans.
Ridiculous, dude.
They all, people that I know personally were like, oh, man, I was afraid to talk to him. I'm like, you're afraid to talk to Hollis? He's the nicest guy. And then the second playoff game, the Minnesota game, that was even bigger, and thank you for showing up again. Man, you're nice to everyone. You're genuine. They're like, oh, man, Hollis is a really nice guy.
His nickname for me is Princess. Because whenever he says he's taking a shower, oh, he's not ready for an hour. Hollis, are you taking a shower? Yeah. Are you taking a princess shower? Yeah.
Well, I got to make sure that I smell nice for the people. I can't just come out of offending people.
All right.
Now, was this the same as in Canton, or was it a different Hollis in Canton?
It was the same.
The same but different?
No, it was the same. I don't like to offend the people. When you come out, you don't want to stink up the drink.
Oh, my car still smells like Gold Bond and some cologne. I don't know what it is.
It's Bond number 9. Wall Street money.
All right, let's get to actually what happened.
Which time?
In the game.
Which time?
Yeah, right.
No, but which time?
Because Carolina.
We're
doing that right now.
Yeah, I know, because we've been like helter-skelter throughout the entire season.
Well, Helter Skelter right now suggests this. Mm. Corey Clement, not playing well. I don't see it.
I think you got to get snaps to play well.
I get that, but he's not giving himself a resume to get more snaps right now.
Well, not well. The thing when you say that, it's kind of like you have to. Okay, case in point, the kid Josh Adams, a 235-pound back. What the fuck are you doing running a sweep with him?
Right.
Instead
Thank
of a dive.
You. North and south.
Yeah, north and south is dive. Because if you notice that he got some carries last game, but they was north and south carries. And then but then you go for before that, it was like a fourth and one or two. And they pitched the ball to him on a sweep.
On a sweep.
What the hell are you doing? Yeah, exactly.
Dude, do you have that? Okay, and that goes back to something that we've been talking about every week for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Is your offensive line that bad? What happened?
No.
That's a play call right there.
Exactly.
That's a play call, man.
It shouldn't even matter. Fourth and one, you got Carson Wentz back there, and you've got your Pro Bowl center, Jason Kelce, along with another thick group.
Right.
You can't get 1 yard with him?
But you don't run a sweep. You run Josh Adams right next to your Pro Bowl center.
But I'm saying, why do you even have to go to that extent? Just say, I'm getting 1 fucking yard and
you know why? Because sometimes those guys think they're the smartest guy in the room. They try to trick fuck
That's
everybody.
That's an Andy Reid move.
They say,
you know what? No one would ever think we would do this because this is so dumb.
Exactly.
And then they do it. It's like, well, just run it straight up the middle. Get 1 yard.
I think I just spit up on my new mixer. Exactly, but... When you look at things, sometimes people like think they're smart. It's like, how about this? I don't give a fuck what you're doing. I don't care. I don't care what you know that I'm doing. We're gonna run it down your
Thank
throat.
Thank you.
And
That's it.
I give no fuck.
Who said that?
Smash Mouth Football.
That is football.
Yeah. No. That really is football. Because when you look at it, when you try to trick people, we ready for all the dumb tricks that you're doing. It's like. But if you run it like straight at us, a lot of times it's like it's mano a mano. A man with a man.
Yeah, Q and I had this conversation 2 weeks ago. Doug has gotten too cute with trying to play, quote,
exactly,
matchup
cute.
Football.
Cute.
There's no such thing as matchup
football.
My guys are bigger, stronger, and faster than
exactly.
you.
Exactly. I hate that shit. The cute shit, I hate it because it won't work this week. It won't. I'm telling you right now.
Not against that defense.
Their defense from all the way from front to back is like one of the best defenses you're going to face in the NFL, point blank.
Although Houston did make him look a little silly, and so did Dallas.
Yeah, but what you had to realize too is like when we
talk about the quarterback.
No. But when people make you look that silly, it's a thing called redemption. And we as a defensive lineman, if I did those 2 weeks in a row, I'm coming for blood, point blank.
Right.
But it's like, and I know the coach Doug Marrone. That's my guy. I've never told anybody this story, but Doug Marrone, Doug Marrone was the offensive line coach at New Orleans when I was there, and we was meeting George Bush on the tarmac, and so on the bus ride to the tarmac, we was in the back of the bus. He kept gabbing about just one handshake with the president can change your fucking life. So I was kind of like the head of the defense because I had just got there because I was traded. So
yeah, that was a sad moment for us.
That was. Not going to lie.
Yeah.
So when
we were still always fans. We cheered for you, but, I know.
We beat y'all we beat the Eagles twice.
Yeah.
The same score, 21 and 24. And we'd
Shut up.
With Deuce McAllister, like, finish the game off, running Deuce. The ball up the gut. So
Jeff Garcia
stuck up the joint. But as I was saying, he, like, they came to give the handshake for me. To George W. Bush, I stopped everything, and I said, I stopped. And I was like, I brought Doug Marrone up to the front. And I said, he's been gabbing like a schoolgirl about a handshake with the president could change your life. It's like, so I'm giving him my, I gave him my handshake, and not thinking nothing of it. But like a couple of years later, he was the head coach of Syracuse. Then a couple of years later, he's the head coach of fucking Buffalo.
Buffalo, right.
Not only that, but then he gets the offensive coordinator job with Jacksonville. And then they put him in charge, and now he's the head coach of Jacksonville. And he goes to the AFC Championship game.
Wow.
I know. So it's like,
what
I was
the
like,
fuck did you do that for?
I don't know. Because it's my guy. I love him to death. And a lot of the coaches are from New Orleans. So I know the guys, and I know what they're telling the guys. Because they're gonna come out and they're gonna slap and knock the shit out of us. So if we have to be totally prepared. Like Carson has to be totally prepared because their secondary and their linebacker core, they're not going to give us the same shit that we got last week.
So where do you
Hold on a second. We are not getting into predictions for this upcoming game yet.
Okay.
We are still analyzing Sunday because there is one thing that we have to discuss right now.
Okay.
And it's unavoidable, and I'm pissed off about it. All right. Third and two.
Oh, God.
Third and two with 30 seconds left and two fucking timeouts.
It was more than 30 seconds left.
37 seconds, whatever it was. It was an eternity.
Exactly. To what you're saying, it was 30 and two.
Okay, tell me this.
It was almost a minute left.
All right, here's what I had, and this is, again, going out to you, Thomas.
Okay.
All right. I don't understand not the play calling, but the play selection by quarterbacks these days, which are it seems like all they're doing is trying to pad their fantasy football stats.
Exactly.
Get the first down. Get the first down. Call a fucking timeout. And you've got four plays. There it is. Look.
Not only that.
There's Smallwood.
Not only that.
There's Smallwood.
But not only that.
If you can't see it, look in the corner.
I know, but not only that. Not only that, what you're saying. But when you look at it, it's like
two shots in the end zone.
And this is what you had to peep, though. You had to peep when Doug did the press conference. He said we had an RPO.
Oh, God.
So, really? so you know that Carson was trying
to. That's his fault.
Okay, well, somebody explain that bullshit RPO pass with two defenders on Jeffrey in the end zone.
Not only that, put it this way. When you look at, I knew that they were double teaming Zach Ertz the whole entire time. If you know that they're gonna do that, you have to go to somebody else. Somebody else has to be the hero of that game.
Well, someone else has to be open.
They were open.
Right.
They, like you said, Smallwood
not
was
only
open.
That, Nelson Aguilar, if you see the replay that Fox showed of that game.
It tortures you.
Aguilar is sitting 2 yards past the first down marker.
Exactly.
And there is nobody within 10 feet of him.
Not only that, but
Aguilar does nothing except catch 4 yard passes
Smallwood,
anyway.
Smallwood, off the block. Smallwood, off the block, is open, and there's nobody within 10 yards of him.
Oh, right. Look. Captain just pulled it up.
Exactly.
That's Smallwood.
There's no defender
in
frame.
No one.
I don't see anybody.
Nobody within the frame. And he just missed
him there, right?
You missed two.
You missed two.
Aguilar and Smallwood on that same play. I understand.
I understand.
And how many times during the game did he hold the ball too long?
I hate that shit.
How many was that?
No, because everybody keeps talking about the offensive fucking line. The offensive fucking line is put it this way. As defensive line, we have 2.4 seconds to get to the quarterback. We try to cut that down. The offensive line is paid too, but the defensive line is also paid. When the dust settles, it's like he was holding the ball for like 3 to 4 seconds.
We're getting dangerously close to criticizing Carson Wentz, and I'm uncomfortable with that.
I'm here for it.
No. But what you will realize is I give no fucks about you being uncomfortable with us criticizing Carson Wentz. He fucked up.
Hold on a second. Now let's be honest.
He fucked up.
This is one of the rare moments in his early career that he had fucked up.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's big. Here's the deal. He should never have been in a situation where he had to worry about it because the defense couldn't put their foot on the throat.
But when you as a team, this shit comes up. As a team, it's kind of like when Mike Rowe got in front and said we scored, and they didn't stop him from scoring. You really don't fucking do that. I was pissed off when he did that shit because I wanted to kick him squaring the fucking teeth because you are a team. You don't throw the defense under the bus.
You don't throw the offense under the bus.
Exactly.
You don't throw the quarterback. That's right.
Exactly.
You know what? Defense, you stop them from scoring. Hey, offense, you keep scoring.
Exactly. And to what he said is like when he did that, that fucked it up for the entire team.
Right.
It's like because he's the offensive coordinator. He's supposed to be the coach. He's supposed to know that we are a team. On occasion, the offense is going to have the opposing defense's number. And on occasion, the defense is going to have to oppose the offense number.
That's right.
So it's like sometimes we're going to pick you up, and sometimes you're going to pick us up. So when he did, talking about we were ahead. You didn't score a fucking touchdown, no? You threw.
Right.
Hold on. Anytime about the Tennessee game, you drove down the field on 5 straight runs And then you threw the, when we got in the red zone, you threw the ball three fucking straight times.
So what happens in the locker room? I mean, that's the coach, player to player. Like you're talking to, you know, you're talking to Brandon Brooks.
Right.
Good guy and everything like that.
Right.
Does a separation happen in the locker room, or is it like, yo, man, what's your guy talking about? Like, how does it go in the locker room?
It's no separation between the players. It's like you just look at the coach differently. It's like your respect for the coach changes.
Right. So like you like Doug Marrone because he don't do that shit.
Yeah, he don't do that shit.
But this Mike Rowe guy,
I don't know about him.
You're not a fan.
Not really.
I got you.
I'm sorry. I was ordering a drink.
Oh, sorry.
Well, you have a bottle. You've had your bottle in front of you all afternoon.
Yeah. Well, this is the second bottle.
Second bottle.
You've had your second bottle in front of you.
No, it's half.
No, that statement was correct.
It's half empty.
Well,
it's half empty.
You thought his nickname. Sorry, sir. I think that's half full.
You thought his nickname was Tank because he was a run stuffer. No. It's because he's Johnny Walker Black. He puts it down.
And I'm a man. And I win.
greatest story. He, myself, and Tony Palmer.
Oh, where's Tony?
He's here somewhere. The day after the Rams game last year, we decided to wander through the L.A. Strip club scene.
Sounds about right.
And he had a paper bag with a big bottle of black in it, right? He's sitting in front of the Uber, and House, need anything? Nope. Need any ice for that drink? Ice.
I'm a man.
I don't drink anything with ice.
I don't drink Johnny Walker with ice. I'm a man. Look it up. It's in the dictionary and at the Geneva Convention.
So, anybody else have any other comments about last week's game? Because what we're going to do after that, we're going to go to break, one more song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to make our predictions for tomorrow's game.
You know what we need to do? We need to put last week's game behind us.
That's right. I already have. I forgot about it on Monday.
The other thing is, I predict the Eagles win tomorrow.
Hey, stop.
Hey.
That's not acceptable yet.
I thought I wanted to
that's
come back.
That's not acceptable yet. We're coming back from break.
I thought I was going back over there to chill with the ladies.
No, I want to go to break.
Since we're not doing your show yet.
Okay.
We're going to have one more quick segment about Sunday's game.
Okay.
And then you can go back on
with
you
the
can
ladies.
Go back on the Iron Throne.
One song break.
Throne.
One song.
One song.
One song break. Tree, can you take us to it, baby?
Boom.
All right, everybody here at Waxy O'Connor's.
Young Money.
For the Green Legion pep rally party.
Let's go, Birds.
Okay, Hollis got the word out. Can I get the word in?
No. We got. Let me do what I have to do here. This radio show is a business still. Do want to make sure that we get our shouts out to our final sponsors of today, Bourbon Blue and Manioc. That's number 2 Rector Street. You guys are in Manioc or want to be around on November 1st. Their 14th anniversary party is taking place. Make sure you mention the Green Legion to the owners, Mel and Brendan. We are vested in the success of their organization as well.
Woo!
The Bayou and Cactus right at the top of the hill above Bourbon Blue.
Woo!
Longtime sponsors. I DJed at the Bayou for many years.
Yeah. When you run into people like, yo, isn't Quimby the DJ at the Bayou?
Quimby's the DJ?
Yep.
Go DJ.
Everybody, we want to thank our guests. Diaz and I have been doing this for just about 2.5 months now, and we're starting to gain a little bit of momentum. We like it. Captain, every time you can come on the show, we appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Captain.
We understand when you can't because you're defending freedom.
Thank you for your service.
And as well, the big dog, who's sitting in with us for a final segment.
Tank!
Yeah.
Tank, Alice Thomas, baby. And as well, let's not forget about our guest earlier today, Liam from PhillySportsNetwork.com.
Liam Jenkins, 21. Is that it?
Liam, he's...
At Liam Jenkins, 21 on the Twitter.
Got it.
Yo, Quimby, you know what Twitter is?
What is it?
Yeah, what you run for me.
That's right. It's awesome when I run into people. Even last night, people were like, hey, you're pretty funny on Twitter. I'm like, great. Or people ask for Quimby. I'm like, you think Quimby knows what the fuck is going on
Absolutely.
This thing?
Probably
he doesn't
not.
Even look at that shit.
Yeah, I'll tell that. That's what I said about Chad for years. I can't write code. I'll write a check, though.
Yeah, right.
That's all I need. All right. We are going to get into our final segment here. We're only going to spend about 7 or 8 minutes on it. We're going to get predictions for tomorrow. But I have one other thing I need to say about last week's game.
I thought we moved on from last week.
No, we didn't. Hollis got the word out.
I just want to say this because I never got an opportunity to tell you. The last thing that I wanted to see from Sunday was have Torrey Smith beat you.
But I love Torrey.
I was cheering.
He let me put on his ring.
I don't love Torrey.
Oh, I love him.
I love Torrey, but...
hey, tell Mr. Tell the Jesus freak to have a good time.
I know, but Jalen Mills, two plays before that, he was beating his chest about a play that he really didn't have nothing to do with. I really think he needs to sit his ass down to act like he's been there before.
Well... Anyway,
yeah, the Torrey dancing Smith, in the preview,
The last thing you want to do is get beat by a 3-year, $5.6 million contract.
I know, exactly.
But anyway, Big Dog, since you just got another bottle of black.
Hell yeah.
Did you just see that?
Wow.
And why do you drink Johnny Walker Black?
Because I'm a man.
One more time?
I'm a man.
One more time.
I am a man.
Johnny Walker
not,
Black.
Hold on, not a male. I'm a man. All right. And I win.
And he wins.
I win.
He's a man and he wins.
Yeah, exactly. Good things.
Hollis, predictions for tomorrow.
Predictions for tomorrow. I feel like we're going to come out and kick their teeth in. I feel like we should score like between 28 to 21 points. But they're only going to score 14 because Blake Bortles sucks ass.
Sucks.
he sucks big time. And they don't have,
hold
and
on. Can we practice for tomorrow? And number, what's his number?
13, 14?
Who, Blake Bortles?
Yeah.
Five.
Anybody know Blake Bortles' number?
It's five. Yeah.
And the quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, number five, Blake Bortles.
Sucks!
Ooh, he sucks big time.
Man, you guys were not ready for that. One more time.
We weren't ready.
And the quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, number five, Blake Bortles.
Sucks!
That's what I'm talking about. I'm glad we have some Flyers fans again here. Volume 48, this is our year.
That was Churchill's drink, if you didn't know.
Charlie, really?
Yeah.
Winston Churchill's?
Winston Churchill.
I just found out this is Winston Churchill's drink. Churchill.
Sir, if you're going to step up, grab the fucking mic.
No, he said, this is the mic. Go ahead, grab it.
Do it.
All right, I'll grab the mic.
Attaboy.
Introduce yourself first.
All right, my name is Ed Zabelski.
Ed, how are you today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
I'm nervous about tomorrow.
Not the game. The Eagles will win.
Jaguars
don't have anything. But Winston Churchill, that was his drink of choice.
What when you say that, for the listeners
Walker
at home
Black
that don't have video.
Johnny Walker Red, either one. He drank. That's what he drank.
He lived off that stuff.
Really?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he was a drinker.
Well, he was, and a cigar smoker, too.
Yeah, Winston Churchill... from what I understand, and I'm going to get corrected from the five people that live here.
Captain right here.
Oh, okay. Or by Captain. No, he liked to drink. And my suspicion is he made a lot of bold statements. And he backed up his bold statements. But it came after drinking a whole lot of Johnny Walker Black.
All right. Well, Diaz, predictions.
Predictions. Man, I'm nervous. I'm always nervous before the game. I'm nervous.
Hold on. It is cool to be nervous. Because of what we've been rolled out.
That's right.
But I know these guys, and I feel like sooner or later it's going to kick into them that everybody is trying to kick your ass because you are the champion. Put it this way. I don't know if you guys remember the season where we played 6-9-1.
Oh my God, that was
you tied Cincinnati. Hoy. You tied Cincinnati?
We tied Baltimore.
Baltimore, okay.
Oh,
but that year we beat.
Wait, 6-9-1 was a Bobby Hoying year too in the mid-90s.
No, it wasn't Bobby Hoying year yet. He came at the end of the season.
Yeah, that was at
the end of the season. But we beat the Green Bay Packers, who was the champions at the time.
And so this is 98.
No, 97.
All
right, well, we got to move on to predictions.
Okay.
All right, predictions.
Diaz, predictions.
What I'm seeing tomorrow, man, can the defense, can we get pressure with four guys? Is Josh Sweat, does Josh Sweat actually make a play?
Hold on, is Sheldon Gibson going to be around?
I hope so. I like him.
Q, I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to have a good time at this game tomorrow. I'm excited for it.
Exactly.
It's going to be another road home game. We do this all the time.
Where's Matt Kelly? Where is Matt Kelly in the house?
We found Matt Kelly, but to help you out about your prediction, they're on their fourth offensive tackle. Oh, Jacksonville is.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
they're, really? they're four.
So Josh Sweat has a, is going to roll tomorrow?
If Josh Sweat, if he's going to do anything, he better do it now.
Well, Matt Kelly was kind enough to point out that there was one Jacksonville fan here in London.
What?
Four of them.
Four of them?
Four of them. Four. Yeah.
He sent us a photo.
There were four Jacksonville Jaguars fans here. Yeah, tomorrow's a home game.
But do you know that Jacksonville, like, the people over here love Jacksonville?
That's not true.
No one likes Jacksonville.
No, they don't give a fuck. No, because Jacksonville has played the most of any other NFL team.
Yeah, guess
They're
what?
They're familiar. Mm.
They don't care.
Not anymore.
They don't
That's
care.
Done.
Young Money.
Oh. Captain.
I have no idea. I've given up football and this team.
Wow.
TTP, you're on to the process, aren't you?
So I got to disagree, though, with Hollison putting it behind us. I think it's going to be the same but different. Or excuse me. It's been the same but different in all the losses. And so tomorrow, unless I get a different defense, unless I get a different offense, unless I get different game management, different play calling, and oh, by the way, my fucking kicker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, if, God, we didn't even talk about that.
If I don't get any of that, how can I expect to win?
And I totally agree with you, but as a fan and a former player, I want to make sure that these guys. It's like I've been around the practice and stuff, and they're trying, but I don't. The weird thing is I don't think they really get it.
Right.
Everybody is out for you. You're not the underdog anymore.
Right.
It's like the underdog shit. You got to put that shit out the door. When you have a team down 14-0 or 17-0, you have to put your foot on the throat and stomp that motherfucker. Yep. It's point blank.
Say it again.
Put your foot on the throat and stomp that motherfucker.
There we go.
So that being said, I still go with the homer pick. I think we win 23-13.
Yeah.
I just want to sing three songs. I want three touchdowns. At least three. I want to sing. I'm talking about my own personal.
That would put you in the it's Philadelphia Flyers season volume 48.
Which puts
you in the average of the rest of the NFL. I don't want that.
No, I want three, and I want my kicker
you're
to make two
a,
field
You're putting a lot of pressure on Jake Elliott.
For him to kick two field goals?
What's up?
Let's say 27-16.
She's taking the picture. She's taking the picture. Don't worry about it.
Tree, start paying attention up there. You're supposed to be our guardian.
I like what Captain said. It's been the same but different. That's the perfect statement for this season.
You know what you just don't see?
Yeah.
You don't see next man up.
Yeah. Not only that.
The next man doesn't get a chance.
Exactly.
Well, not even that, though. The next man up is like it's been bullshitting. It's been bullshitting. A lot of people don't realize this. We miss Trey Burton. We miss Bo Allen.
We miss Patrick Robinson,
Vinny Curry.
Patrick Robinson's out for the season.
Yeah, who gives a fuck, though?
He played last year.
He was getting that old where you would have to worry about whether he's going to be out for the season.
No, hold on for a second.
It's not a personnel problem, but we're missing that role. We're missing that guy.
Okay.
That role.
Exactly.
But keeping him was not so.
Right, I agree.
But keeping Bo Allen and Vinny Curry. And the other guy.
I said a long time ago, you are going to miss Bo Allen.
My young warthog. That's my young warthog.
I think Hollis might move to Tampa. He's missing Vinnie Curry and Bo Allen.
Fat Thor. That's my guy.
All
right. Listen, everybody, my prediction for tomorrow is
Eagles win.
The Green Legion has never lost a fucking tailgate.
Never.
Tailgate. Undefeated.
Undefeated.
Listen, we're going to call this one quits. Everybody,
you don't take fans?
I can't thank you enough for you guys traveling with us. I can't thank you enough for putting up with my horse's ass emails, which is accurate. I promise you one thing. Everybody will get in the game tomorrow, which I know everybody's worried about. And we have never lost a fucking tailgate. From Hollis Thomas, Tank, number 78 in your program, number Woo! One in your heart. My partner on this program, Michael Diaz, and in charge of my social media.
What up?
Say your TTP now.
It's when we close out, yeah.
I got you. And our friend here, my ride or die partner, person I've sat next to for every road game, including the Super Bowl for the last 6 years, Captain William Demps. You guys, enjoy this fucking party today. We thank you for coming out.
TTP!